In a sun-washed corner of Kingston, where music leaks into the streets and colour feels stitched into the air itself, a new kind of fashion movement begins to take shape. It doesn't come from Paris ateliers or Milanese showrooms. It rises instead from yard culture, dancehall verve, and the imaginative pulse of young Jamaicans determined to redefine what luxury can look like. This is Sweet Like Jam, a pop-up boutique turned cultural installation, built not as a store, but as a statement. Inside, racks carry bold silhouettes, handcrafted textiles, sculptural jewelry, and pieces that look less like clothing and more like stories worn on the skin. Visitors step through its doors expecting fashion. They leave feeling as though they've walked through a living archive of Jamaican identity. The installation features 35 designers, each representing a different thread of the island's creative tapestry. Together, these makers are crafting something far larger than garments. They're building a narrative that challenges a global industry long accustomed to overlooking Caribbean perspectives. And for the first time, Jamaica is positioning itself, not as a trend follower, but as a source of cultural and artistic innovation, ready to take the global stage. R1, The Rise of a Cultural Installation, 2,000 plus words. The first thing anyone notices about Sweet Like Jam is the doorway. It is bright, intentional, and unapologetically Jamaican. Visitors step past panels of sun yellow, ackee red, and mint green, and feel a shift the moment they cross the threshold. This is not a commercial boutique. It is something curated, something layered. The interior feels like stepping into a story woven from memory, style, and a distinctly Caribbean imagination. But to understand how this installation came to exist, and why it holds such cultural weight, you have to trace the roots of the idea to a period of extraordinary creative energy rising in Jamaica over the last decade. During the late 2010s and early 2020s, Jamaica experienced a quiet but profound artistic renaissance. Young creatives were forming collectives, experimenting with new media, merging traditional craft with digital techniques, and challenging assumptions about what Caribbean art should be. The world saw the surface of this shift through music, social media aesthetics, and emerging influences. But beneath it was an ecosystem of designers, photographers, stylists, and artisans who were redefining Jamaica's visual identity. Sweet Like Jam would eventually emerge from this energy, an installation born from a desire to honor the island's creative explosion while offering a platform that could stand shoulder to shoulder with global fashion capitals. The founders of the project, two Kingston-based cultural producers and a fashion curator returning from studies abroad, saw something others didn't yet recognize. They felt that Jamaica was having a design moment, one grounded not in imitation, but in innovation. The island's creators weren't simply seeking to enter global fashion. They wanted to reshape it, infusing it with the rhythms, textures, and sensibilities born from a Caribbean worldview. This belief became the spark. The initial concept for Sweet Like Jam was simple. Create a temporary space that brings together a wide selection of Jamaican designers under one roof. But very quickly, the idea grew beyond a retail experiment. The founders realized that if they curated the experience with intention, they could create an installation that felt immersive, one that not only showcased clothing, but told a story about identity, place, and cultural hybridity. What began as a pop-up became a cultural installation, a physical expression of Jamaican creative possibility. Selecting 35 designers was a deliberate choice. The founders wanted range: emerging makers, established names, artisans working with traditional methods, and young designers experimenting with futuristic silhouettes. Each designer brought something distinctive, and together they offered a panoramic view of Jamaican creativity. It was a size large enough to feel like a cultural cross-section, yet curated enough to avoid overwhelming visitors. The installation would show not only what Jamaican designers could create, but how they saw themselves and their island reflected in their work. The global fashion world had been inching toward deeper interest in Caribbean narratives for years. International magazines occasionally highlighted island influences. Designers abroad borrowed color palettes and tropical motifs. But these gestures often felt surface level, more inspired by imagined Caribbean fantasies than by authentic regional aesthetics. What Sweet Like Jam aimed to do was shift the conversation, grounding it in lived experience rather than borrowed imagery. Jamaica's long-standing impact on fashion was undeniable. Dancehall culture had shaped streetwear, from mesh tops and bold patterns to oversized silhouettes and statement jewelry. Carnival-inspired costumes, though rooted more deeply in Trinidad and Tobago, influenced visual language across the region. And Jamaican artisans had long been known for craft traditions in leatherwork, jewelry, and natural fibers. But despite this influence, Jamaican designers struggled to access the infrastructure necessary for global recognition. Limited access to manufacturing facilities, expensive import costs, and challenges with scaling production meant that many brilliant creatives remained locally celebrated but internationally invisible. The founders saw Sweet Like Jam as a solution, not to all systemic problems, but to one critical gap: visibility. The installation would be a place where Jamaican narratives could be told without dilution, where luxury was defined by culture, craftsmanship, and innovation, not by Eurocentric standards, where the global industry could be introduced to the depth and diversity of Jamaican design on the island's own terms. When planning the installation, the team decided it needed a strong thematic direction. They wanted it to feel like a bridge between Jamaica's heritage and its contemporary expression. They drew inspiration from the island's landscapes, coastal blues, hillside greens, the warm terracotta tones of sunlit earth. They incorporated textures found in everyday life: wicker, bamboo, unfinished wood, and raw textiles. The soundtrack would weave together dancehall, roots reggae, dub, and atmospheric instrumentals, creating an audio experience that echoed the layers of Jamaican identity. Visitors entering Sweet Like Jam immediately understood that the installation was not made for passive viewing. The air carried a soft scent of pimento and sweet coconut oil. Light fell in warm pockets, highlighting intricate beadwork or sculptural silhouettes. Every corner felt crafted with intention. Clothing hung like artwork. Accessories were displayed like artifacts. Through these details, the installation positioned fashion as an archive, one that documented the island's past while imagining its future. To truly grasp the innovation behind the project, one must recognize how radical its existence was within Jamaica's fashion ecosystem. Many local designers had historically relied on small markets, direct sales, or diaspora support. Very few had access to spaces that treated their work with museum-level reverence. For decades, Caribbean fashion had been viewed through a commercial lens: bright vacation wear, beach clothes, resort aesthetics. But the designers invited into Sweet Like Jam represented a different vision: conceptual couture, architectural tailoring, experimental pattern making, slow fashion, and accessories crafted with artistic precision. Designers spoke openly about how the installation challenged them to elevate their work. Some refined their silhouettes to capture more narrative detail. Others shifted to more sustainable materials, drawing from Jamaica's botanical resources. Many revisited childhood memories, school uniforms, market colors, family traditions, and wove these influences into modern designs. Innovation was not only encouraged, it was expected. The installation created a space where experimentation was both safe and celebrated. The Jamaican public, especially young creatives, embraced the installation immediately. They saw themselves in the designs. They recognized cultural references that outsiders might miss: the color of zinc fences after rain, the geometry of downtown Kingston murals, the palette of markets in Spanish Town, the print combinations found in dancehall fashion. Because the installation grounded itself in Jamaican lived experience, every piece felt familiar, yet elevated, refined, and expressive of a new artistic era. But Sweet Like Jam was also designed to provoke questions. The most significant question emerged early: how can a pop-up born in Jamaica boldly reimagine what luxury means on the world stage? This question became the driving stake of Chapter 1. The founders believed that luxury, traditionally defined by European history, exclusivity, and vaulted price points, was due for a cultural transformation. They argued that luxury could be rooted in craftsmanship, in narrative, in identity, and in cultural specificity. If Jamaica could articulate its own version of luxury, then perhaps the global industry would have to adjust its definitions. The installation offered a counter-argument to standard fashion hierarchies. Instead of focusing on mass production or commercial scalability, it centered creative autonomy. Instead of chasing trends, it presented heritage as a renewable source of artistic inspiration. Instead of positioning Jamaica as a peripheral player in global fashion, Sweet Like Jam framed it as a nucleus, an origin point of bold ideas, vibrant creativity, and innovative design philosophies. Visitors left the installation thinking deeply about the meaning of luxury. Many had walked in expecting Caribbean fashion to fit a predictable mold. They walked out realizing that Jamaica was crafting an entirely different narrative, one where innovation came from culture, place, and identity rather than external validation. And yet, this chapter ends at the beginning of the journey. The installation has taken shape, the designers have been curated, the cultural movement has launched. But the world beyond Jamaica has not yet encountered Sweet Like Jam. No international press coverage, no diaspora reaction, no global stage, yet. For now, the installation stands in Kingston as a living experiment, a creative leap, and a declaration of possibility. Luxury, the founders argue, is not a destination. It is a point of view, and Jamaica is ready to meaningfully reshape it. Chapter 2, In the Hands of the Designers. The deeper one moves into Sweet Like Jam, the more the installation feels like a living conversation, between past and future, between memory and reinvention, between the island's ancestral craft traditions and the bold experimentation of its contemporary designers. By the time the installation opened its doors to the public, the heart of the project was no longer the founders' vision alone. It was the designers themselves, 35 makers whose work shaped the textures, colors, silhouettes, and emotional resonance of the space. Each designer entered the project with a story, stories rooted in family lineage, diaspora experiences, rural craft traditions, dancehall aesthetics, or personal battles to carve out space in an industry that often overlooks Caribbean voices. Chapter 2 brings those voices forward, situating them inside the multisensory world of the installation. The racks, shelves, and sculptural displays of Sweet Like Jam become points of entry into understanding how Jamaican luxury is crafted, imagined, and reimagined. A mosaic of designers, 35 creative worlds. Walking through the central gallery area, visitors encounter a curated rotation of garments that represent the range of the installation's contributors. One corner features structured jackets with sharp lines reminiscent of urban Kingston architecture. Another section celebrates free-flowing dresses dyed in botanical shades drawn from hillside mornings in rural St. Elizabeth. There are beaded accessories echoing carnival flair, minimalist menswear with futuristic trims, and avant-garde silhouettes stitched with a precision that rivals international runways. The installation is designed so each designer feels distinct, but collectively, they read as a cultural mosaic. Designer profiles, a snapshot of origin journeys. Several of the 35 designers stand out not simply for their aesthetics, but for how their narratives reflect the evolution of Jamaican creative identity. One designer grew up watching her grandmother dye cloth with crushed leaves and bark. She later studied textile innovation and returned home determined to merge natural dyes with contemporary silhouettes. Her pieces in the installation highlight botanical gradients, deep green fading into turmeric yellow, indigo moving into soft gray, telling a story of earth, memory, and technical mastery. Another designer, raised between rural Jamaica and New York, sees herself as part of the diaspora returning home. Her work draws from the contrast between two worlds, the soft, natural textures of island life and the sharp architectural lines of metropolitan spaces. Her collection showcased in Sweet Like Jam features jackets with exaggerated shoulders, dresses with mirrored paneling, and accessories that integrate recycled aluminium, an homage to urban grit, reframed through a Caribbean lens. A third designer began as a tailor in Spanish Town, perfecting pattern making in a small shop before transitioning into conceptual design. His collection in the installation revisits the structure of school uniforms, pleats, buttons, pockets, and transforms them into couture-level garments that feel familiar yet innovative. His work speaks to the universal Caribbean experience of uniformity, reimagined as liberation through design. These are only three of the 35, yet the variety of their backgrounds shows how wide the creative field has grown in Jamaica. Some designers trained internationally, others learned through apprenticeships or family trade. but all of them treat innovation not as novelty, but as a continuation of cultural lineage. Heritage textures, contemporary techniques. Visitors quickly realize that Sweet Like Jam is built not only on aesthetic brilliance, but on material mastery. The installation intentionally highlights the textures and motifs unique to Jamaican and Caribbean life, an element that becomes a major focus of the chapter. Natural fibers and botanical color. One of the most striking sections of the installation highlights garments made from bamboo fiber, handwoven cotton, and upcycled natural materials. Jamaica's history of craft, from basket weaving to straw plaiting, serves as a quiet but powerful inspiration. A designer from Manchester experiments with bamboo fiber, creating lightweight yet structured garments that embody both sustainability and innovation. Her dresses move with a fluidity that surprises visitors unfamiliar with plant-based textiles. She explains in her designer notes that bamboo, abundant and renewable, feels like a metaphor for Caribbean resilience, flexible, rooted, and constantly renewing itself. Nearby, another designer uses natural dyes extracted from hibiscus flowers, boiled pimento seeds, and crushed logwood. The colors produced, deep purples, black and blues, soft rose, feel organic and unmistakably Jamaican. These pieces carry the faint scent of the dye baths they were steeped in, adding to the installation's multi-sensory quality. Carnival, dance hall, and everyday life as design language. The installation also highlights motifs central to Jamaican identity. Carnival-inspired beadwork appears as embellishment on modern silhouettes. Dancehall's influence shows up in bold prints, metallic fabrics, and exaggerated tailoring. Market colors, bright oranges, greens, and reds, find their way into streetwear pieces that feel celebratory and youthful. These elements are not used ornamentally. Instead, designers reinterpret them with artistic sophistication. A dancehall-inspired jacket features chrome paneling that catches the light like Kingston nightlife. A carnival-inspired gown uses beadwork not as decoration but as storytelling, each bead representing a step, a dance, a ritual of celebration. Upcycling and sustainable craft. A major innovation emerging from Jamaica's design community is the use of upcycling. Some designers source discarded fabrics from markets, reworking them into luxury garments. Others repurpose old denim, burlap coffee sacks, or even fragments of traditional Caribbean tablecloths. The installation celebrates this ingenuity by displaying several upcycled pieces on sculptural mannequins made from found materials. These mannequins themselves become part of the storytelling, bodies shaped from wire, driftwood, and clay, symbolizing the transformation of everyday materials into high art. Inside the installation, a multi-sensory world, the physical layout of Sweet Like Jam is central to understanding Chapter 2. Visitors often compare the space to a museum, an art gallery, and a boutique woven into one. But it is the sensory layers, sound, scent, color, texture, that transform it from a retail space into a cultural narrative. The color story, the walls shift between warm terracotta, cool blue, and lush green. These colors echo the island's geography, coastline, mountain, soil. Designers worked with the curatorial team to position their pieces in spaces that complemented their palettes. It feels intentional because it is. A dress dyed in logwood purple hangs beside a wall painted in a washed plum tone. A jacket inspired by urban Kingston sits against a concrete-textured backdrop. Light filters through fabrics suspended overhead, creating a kaleidoscope of shadows on the floor. Sound as identity. The soundscape changes as visitors move through each section, roots reggae fading into dub, then into ambient dancehall instrumentals. The bass is soft enough to keep the space contemplative, but present enough to remind people that this is Jamaica, where rhythm is part of the national pulse. Some designers requested tracks that inspired their collections. A sculptural menswear display sits beside a looping instrumental that feels like a slowed-down dubplate, a nod to the designer's love for classic sound system culture. Another designer's section features airy, melodic tones that evoke early morning fog in the Blue Mountains. Touch and texture. The installation invites tactility, carefully supervised, but encouraged. Visitors can feel the weight of bamboo fabric, trace the raised surfaces of hand-embroidered patterns, or run their fingers over beadwork inspired by river stones. A small studio area near the back of the gallery displays swatches, dyes, and small craft tools. This section often captivates visitors because it reveals the labor behind the art. Wooden looms, dye bowls, dried plant materials, thread spools, and unfinished textile samples. By allowing people to see the process, the installation reinforces the core value behind Jamaican luxury: craftsmanship. Voices from the island, designers speak. Throughout the installation, each designer is given space to articulate the meaning behind their work. These are not long biographies, but brief, powerful statements that reveal the emotional and cultural stakes behind each piece. Innovation is remembering. One designer writes this line beside a garment inspired by childhood memories of market days. For her, the act of creating is tied to a personal archive: textures of ground provisions, the weight of canvas bags, the rhythm of vendors' voices. She explains that innovation is not about breaking from the past, but about reinterpreting it. Luxury is time, time to craft, time to refine, time to honor. Another designer emphasizes the slow fashion principles guiding her collection. Each garment takes weeks to create. She hand dyes her fabric, cuts each piece individually, and sews the final garment using traditional techniques her mother taught her. We are not here to imitate the world. We are here to show how we see it. A menswear designer writes this beside a display of textured jackets. The pieces feature asymmetrical cuts and layered materials that reference both dancehall flamboyance and global streetwear, but the combination is distinctly Jamaican. Diaspora is a circle. Some of us leave, some return, some create from in between. This line accompanies a collection made by a designer who grew up in London, but reconnected with her Jamaican roots in adulthood. Her pieces feature structured silhouettes, softened with Caribbean color palettes, illustrating her in-between identity. These voices are central to Chapter 2 because they highlight the installation's most important revelation. Jamaican innovation is not accidental. It is intentional, layered, and deeply rooted in lived experience. Tradition meets experimentation. A defining tension within Sweet Like Jam becomes clear. Designers feel the weight of preserving tradition while also confronting the desire to push boundaries. This tension becomes a creative catalyst rather than a barrier. Balancing acts. For some designers, innovation means reworking traditional Jamaican silhouettes, folk dresses, market wear, bandana prints, into something altogether new. But they must balance reinvention with respect. One designer explains that she avoids using the classic red bandana print casually because it carries cultural meaning connected to Jamaican folk history. Instead, she reinterprets the print through digital patterning that preserves its geometry without replicating its exact form. Others grapple with how to honor craft traditions taught by older generations. Hand-plaited straw, for instance, has long been used in rural craft markets. A young designer incorporates this material into contemporary bags, but ensures that older craftswomen from his hometown are involved in the production. He explains that innovation does not erase the hands that shaped the tradition, it amplifies them. Pushing the edge, there are also designers who lean boldly into futurist approaches. One uses laser-cutting techniques to create lace-like patterns inspired by the fractal shapes found in coral reefs. Another experiments with reflective materials that shimmer in sunlight, referencing how Kingston's skyline glitters at dusk. These more experimental designers challenge visitors to reconsider what Caribbean fashion can be. It does not have to be rooted solely in recognizable motifs. It can be abstract, conceptual, futuristic, yet still undeniably Jamaican. This is where the installation becomes powerful. It maps the full spectrum of Jamaican design innovation, refusing to limit it to the expectations of outsiders. A meeting point for generations. One of the installation's most profound qualities is its ability to bridge generations. Young designers draw inspiration from older artisans, while elders see themselves reflected in the work of youth. A small documentary screen in the rear of the space shows interviews with craftspeople from rural parishes, woodcarvers, seamstresses, leatherworkers. The installation intentionally centers these voices, emphasizing that Jamaican luxury is built on the contributions of those who kept craft traditions alive long before global audiences began paying attention. Elders visiting the installation often respond emotionally. They recognize motifs and techniques that have long been part of Jamaican craft, now elevated with contemporary flair. A retired seamstress comments that she sees her own mother's stitching patterns echoed in the embroidery of one designer's jacket. Another elderly visitor says she is proud that the younger generation has taken what we used to do and carried it forward with style. This dialogue across generations reinforces the installation's core purpose: innovation grounded in cultural memory, tension, and the central question of Chapter 2. As visitors move deeper into the installation, one question begins to surface. Can innovation rooted in heritage maintain authenticity while still pushing boundaries? This question is at the center of Chapter 2's emotional and intellectual tension. Designers are pushing Jamaican fashion forward into new materials, new silhouettes, new expressions. Yet, they carry the responsibility of cultural stewardship, ensuring that innovation does not erase the past or distort it. Some designers express fear of being misunderstood by global audiences, who may interpret their work without context. Others worry that commercial demand might pressure them into abandoning their cultural signatures. The installation itself acknowledges this tension by presenting innovation not as a break from heritage, but as a fluid continuation of it. It invites visitors to recognize that Caribbean creativity is not static. It moves, evolves, and adapts, just like the island's culture. But the question remains unresolved at this stage. The installation is still a local phenomenon. The world has not yet reacted. Designers do not yet know how their work will be interpreted outside Jamaica. The chapter ends by holding this uncertainty with care. Closing movement of Chapter 2. By the time visitors reach the final section of the installation, they have experienced fashion as history, identity, innovation, and cultural narrative. They understand that Sweet Like Jam is not simply a showcase of talent. It is a living record of Jamaican creativity, crafted by 35 designers who bring their full selves into their work. The installation, at this point in the documentary, remains rooted in Jamaica. It is powerful, transformative, and deeply meaningful, but its story is still incomplete. The global stage has yet to respond. International audiences have not yet encountered the installation. Designers have not yet seen their innovations tested in the world beyond the island. This pause, this moment before expansion, is where Chapter 2 leaves its audience. The garments stand still, the music hums softly, the colors glow, the designers wait. Innovation is happening, but the world has not yet looked in Jamaica's direction. And so the question lingers, suspended like a garment waiting to be tried on. Can Jamaica carry its heritage into the future without losing its authenticity? The installation believes the answer is yes. The next chapter will reveal whether the world agrees. Chapter 3, The World Takes Notice. The moment Sweet Like Jam left Jamaican soil for the first time, everything changed. What began as a local installation, built from memory, texture, and artistic conviction, was suddenly thrust under the scrutinizing lights of the global fashion world. The installation's founders had always hoped the work would resonate beyond the island, but none of them could fully anticipate what would happen when 35 Jamaican designers stepped onto an international stage that had long underestimated the Caribbean's creative depth. The installation's first appearance abroad was modest, a cultural showcase at an arts festival known for spotlighting emerging global talent. The founders saw the invitation not as a grand debut, but as a test. Could the world see what Jamaica already knew? That these designers were not fringe participants, but leaders in a rising movement. As crates of garments, sculptures, fabrics, and installation pieces shipped out of Kingston, the designers waited anxiously. They knew their work was strong. They knew it came from a place of authenticity and innovation. But they also understood that global recognition often depends on being seen, interpreted, and valued by audiences unfamiliar with the cultural codes embedded in Caribbean design. Still, they sent their work into the world with hope and a quiet confidence born from generations of Jamaican resilience. A breakthrough abroad, the first global response. The installation opened overseas with little fanfare at first. People wandered in slowly, unsure of what to expect. But within hours, something began to shift. Visitors lingered. They asked questions. They returned a second time with friends. Social media posts began circulating. Photos of sculptural garments, close-ups of botanical dyes, shots of bamboo fiber dresses moving gently in the light. Fashion journalists who initially bypassed the installation found themselves drawn back by public buzz. Photographers captured details that shimmered in unexpected ways. The texture of hand-plaited straw woven into architectural bags, beadwork that caught the light like river stones, silhouettes that blended futurism with island memory. By the end of the first weekend, the installation was no longer a quiet corner feature. It was the event's main conversation. A global audience was encountering Jamaican fashion innovation on Jamaica's terms. Not through tourism, not through stereotyped beachwear, but through artistry that demanded intellectual and cultural engagement. And people were captivated. What struck many visitors most was the clarity of identity in the work. Unlike many global collections that borrowed loosely from Caribbean imagery or relied on exoticized motifs, Sweet Like Jam presented designs shaped by lived experience. Authenticity became the installation's magnetic force. Within days, coverage appeared in international publications. Critics wrote about the installation's narrative depth, sensory ambition, and conceptual coherence. One reviewer described the work as Caribbean futurism expressed through fabric. Another noted how the installation redefines luxury through heritage-based innovation. The response exceeded every expectation. Designers step into the spotlight. As the installation's reputation grew, so did opportunities for individual designers. Partnerships and collaborations. A designer using natural dyes from hibiscus and logwood received an invitation to collaborate with a sustainability-focused European fashion house. They wanted her to teach workshops on botanical color extraction and consult on an environmentally conscious capsule collection. Another designer specializing in structured urban silhouettes was offered a residency at a design studio in Tokyo. The studio's director had never encountered work that blended Caribbean color sensibilities with metropolitan geometry so fluidly. The residency promised resources the designer had never had access to: advanced sewing machinery, 3D pattern making labs, international mentorship. A third designer's sculptural jewelry, made from recycled metals and inspired by the form of river stones, caught the attention of a major museum curator. The curator requested several pieces for an exhibition exploring contemporary design movements in the global south. Suddenly, designers who once worked in cramped home studios or crowded shared workshops were being courted by institutions and brands that had previously overlooked the Caribbean entirely. Runways, museums, galleries. As the installation continued traveling, first to cultural festivals, then to design biennials, then to established fashion capitals, designers found themselves on runways, in galleries, and in curated museum spaces. In London, a Fashion Week showcase dedicated a segment to Sweet Like Jam alumni. Models walked wearing garments once displayed in Kingston, but now reframed under the glare of international spotlights. The effect was electric. Onlookers, unaware of how local the installation's beginnings were, assumed these designers had long been part of the global fashion conversation. Paris hosted a gallery exhibition featuring the installation's textile experiments. Visitors traced the gradients of botanical dyes and marveled at how natural fibers could be manipulated into forms typically associated with synthetic couture. In Toronto, a museum devoted an entire wing to contemporary Caribbean design, with Sweet Like Jam at its center. Diaspora communities filled the halls, many moved to tears at seeing artifacts of home displayed with seriousness and reverence. Every appearance amplified the same truth. Jamaican innovation was not emerging. It had already emerged. The world was simply late in noticing. A diasporic reflection, the emotional response abroad. While global critics praised the installation's artistry, its most powerful impact came from the diaspora. Recognition and belonging. Jamaicans living abroad, whether in the UK, Canada, the US, or farther afield, responded with unexpected emotion. Many described feeling seen for the first time in a fashion context. Others wrote that the installation reminded them of childhood memories, their grandmother's sewing machine humming late at night, school uniforms pressed on windowsills, market colors bouncing off zinc walls, the textures of home. For many diaspora visitors, the installation stirred a longing for connection. Some purchased pieces not only for their beauty, but for the sense of belonging they carried. Others brought parents or grandparents to the gallery, wanting them to witness the elevation of craft traditions they had once practiced quietly in kitchens or yard spaces. One woman in New York said through tears that a hand-woven bag reminded her of summers spent in St. Mary with her aunt, who made baskets for market stalls. Another visitor said the botanical dyes looked like the shades of the hillside she missed every day. The installation became more than a showcase. For the diaspora, it was a cultural anchor. Conversations on representation. Diaspora creatives, filmmakers, poets, musicians, joined panels discussing the installation's significance. They spoke about how Caribbean narratives were often flattened or stereotyped in global media. Sweet Like Jam offered an alternative representation, one that portrayed Jamaicans as innovators, thinkers, and cultural architects. These conversations deepened the installation's impact. It was no longer just a fashion event. It became a platform for diasporic identity and cultural authorship. Shifting global conversations on fashion. As the installation gained traction, it began influencing the broader fashion industry, redefining luxury. Critics noted how Sweet Like Jam challenged standard definitions of luxury. Instead of relying on exclusivity, brand heritage, or price as markers of value, the installation framed luxury through craftsmanship, cultural specificity, sustainability, narrative depth, artistic autonomy. This shift resonated with global audiences increasingly curious about heritage-based design and ethical production. Fashion schools began referencing the installation in lectures about sustainability and cultural innovation. Design students analyzed the installation's integration of local materials and multi-sensory curation. Museums used it as a case study in rethinking how cultural exhibitions can avoid exoticism and instead center lived experience. Cultural authorship and anti-exoticism. One of the most transformative conversations centered on cultural authorship. For decades, global fashion had mined Caribbean aesthetics without acknowledging Caribbean creators. Sweet Like Jam disrupted that pattern by positioning Jamaican designers as the authors and interpreters of their own culture. Panel discussions at design conferences highlighted this shift, noting that the installation demonstrated how cultural work can be presented without exoticizing or sanitizing it. Instead, Sweet Like Jam allowed Jamaican identity to remain complex, layered, and rooted in real histories. The ripple effect back home. As global opportunities multiplied, something equally significant unfolded in Jamaica. New programs and mentorship initiatives. Inspired by the success of Sweet Like Jam, Jamaican universities and creative organizations launched new programs. Fashion innovation residencies, mentorship networks, connecting young designers with established creatives, workshops in natural dye techniques and sustainable materials, business training for designers entering global markets. Established designers, once isolated, now collaborated to build a more robust creative ecosystem. The visibility of the installation encouraged government agencies, tourism boards, and private donors to invest in local fashion development. Entrepreneurship and creative enterprise. More designers began launching their own studios, boutiques, and small-scale production houses. The installation had proven that Jamaican fashion could travel, resonate, and generate international demand. Young creatives who once felt forced to migrate to pursue fashion now saw a viable future at home. A cultural narrative takes shape. Most importantly, Sweet Like Jam catalyzed a cultural shift. Jamaicans began speaking more boldly about their nation's design identity. Creativity was no longer seen as a fringe pursuit, but as an integral part of national storytelling and economic possibility. The installation inspired school art programs, youth workshops, and rural craft revitalization. In parishes like Portland and St. Elizabeth, elders teaching traditional crafts felt newly valued. Their work wasn't disappearing, it was being carried into the future. A movement, not an exhibit. By the time Sweet Like Jam completed its international tour, it had become more than an installation. It was now a movement, one shaping how Jamaica views itself and how the world views Jamaica. The designers, once 35 individual creatives, began to be spoken of collectively. Journalists coined terms like Jamaican New Wave and Caribbean craft futurism. Exhibitions in South Africa, Brazil, and Kenya expressed interest in cross-cultural collaborations. A global network of designers began emerging, linking Caribbean creators with artists in the African diaspora, Latin America, and Asia. This movement did not dilute Jamaican identity. It strengthened it, positioning the island as a leader in a global rethinking of how design, culture, and innovation intersect. The final question, what does global recognition mean? As the installation's journey reached its end, the guiding question for Chapter 3 emerged. What does global recognition mean for a movement born from local ingenuity? The answer is layered. Recognition does not erase the years of struggle, limited access, or systemic barriers faced by Jamaican designers. It does not solve every challenge of scaling production or sustaining creative enterprise. But it does offer validation, not external validation in the superficial sense, but a recognition that Jamaican innovation holds weight in global conversations. It means that young Jamaican designers growing up today will see themselves reflected in global fashion spaces. It means that culture no longer has to leave home to be seen as valuable. It means that Caribbean perspectives, which once existed on the periphery of fashion, now sit comfortably at its center. Recognition also means responsibility. Designers must navigate international demand without compromising authenticity. They must protect their cultural narratives from misinterpretation or appropriation. And they must ensure that success benefits the communities and craft traditions that shaped their work. But above all, recognition means this. Jamaica's creative future is no longer waiting to be invited into global conversations. Jamaica is leading them. Closing reflection. In its final moments, the documentary returns to where the journey began, the installation itself. The camera lingers on garments that once hung quietly in Kingston, the logwood-dyed dresses, the bamboo fiber coats, the sculptural jewelry. They have traveled across continents. They have been admired, studied, purchased, and preserved. They have sparked conversations about culture, identity, and authorship. But the story they tell remains rooted in the island. As the lights dim, the narrator offers one final thought. Innovation is not departure. Innovation is inheritance carried forward with imagination. And Jamaica, through Sweet Like Jam, has shown the world exactly how powerful that inheritance can be.